Let's turn tonight in the Word of God, please, to the book of Job, to the Old Testament, and to the book of Job, and to chapter 33. Job chapter 33. And reading together, please, from verse number 14. Job chapter 33. Verse number 14. Job 33, verse 14. Let's hear the word of God, please. For God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men, in slumberings upon the bed, then he openeth the ears of men and sealeth their instruction, that he may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from man. He keepeth back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. He is chastened also with pain upon his bed and the multitude of his bones with strong pain. So that his life abhorreth bread and his soul dainty meat. His flesh is consumed away that it cannot be seen, and his bones that were not seen stick out. Yea, his soul draweth near unto the grave, and his life to the destroyers. If there be a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand, to show unto man his uprightness, then he is gracious unto him, and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. Amen. We'll end our reading there. And we know that God will bless the public reading of his word to every heart. That is our text for tonight, verse number 24. Then he is gracious unto him and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. With our Bibles open, let us just unite our hearts again in prayer. And let's just take a moment. There are dear people in this meeting tonight and they need Christ. And let's all just gather ourselves now before God. And let's everyone just still ourselves. And let's pray. Let's seek the face of God now. And may God be pleased to come and bless. Let's all seek his face. Almighty God and Father in heaven, the quietness of this meeting house, we draw near again to thy sacred throne, in Christ and through Christ, and by the merits of his all-atoning blood, we thank thee that all we need to draw near to God is found in Jesus Christ. We thank thee for him that loved us and gave himself for us. We thank thee for that once and for all sacrifice for sin. We thank thee, O Father in heaven, for the cross of our Lord. And O God, we come to thee. We plead all the merits of the blood and all the value of the atonement. And Father, again, I confess before heaven and in thy sight my complete inadequacy to deal with what is before me in this meeting. But thou hast said, certainly I will be with thee. Empty me now of self and sin. Wash me completely in Jesus' blood. Fill me now with the Holy Ghost and power. Father, that is the need of this preacher. It is the power of the Holy Ghost. The need of this meeting is the descending of the Holy Ghost. And we pray, O God, that you'll come. Glorify Christ. Paralyze the powers of darkness. Extend that everlasting kingdom of God and of grace. And do it, O God, for your glory. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Last Sabbath evening, we looked at Galatians 1, verse 4. That text which said, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. We saw in that text that the Apostle Paul was reminding the Galatians and indeed himself of the great deliverance that had taken place in their lives by the grace of God and the work of Christ. We looked at the fact that it was not a physical deliverance, but it was a spiritual deliverance from sin and this present evil world. But tonight, by the help of the Lord, I do want to look again with you at this thought of deliverance. But this time I want to look at it in the Old Testament. Indeed, tonight, as you see, from the book of Job. Now, many of the mentioned ancient writers believe that Job was maybe the first book written, the oldest book in the Bible. Some believe it was written by Moses in the land of Midian. And taking that to be the case, the first book of Scripture written, we see immediately this great truth that God records in the pages of Holy Scripture man's need for this spiritual deliverance. Man's need to be delivered from their sin. Yes, dear people, tonight in this meeting, since the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, when paradise became a wilderness, when sinless man became fallen man, became rebellious man, when obedience gave way to disobedience, when life became a journey to death, since then, there has been this great need of deliverance for sinners. The words of our text, as I have already told you, verse number 24, then he is gracious unto him, and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. Then he is gracious unto him, and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. I want to speak tonight on just the second part of what I entitled last week, The Greatest Deliverance in the History of the World. The second part of The Greatest Deliverance, or the second sermon on it, and The Greatest Deliverance in the History of the World. The first thing I want to show you from our text is this. The one in view here is Almighty God, the potentate of time. Verse 24 says, then he is gracious. You see, it is God that is gracious to sinners. I've used that word, the potentate of time. Turn with me to 1 Timothy 6, please. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 15. 1 Timothy 6, verse 15. And there we see that blessed title. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 15. Which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The word potentate, it refers to God, who is the governor of the whole world, ruler among the nations, a sovereign God, one who has power over all men and kingdoms. And that is the one who is addressing us tonight through this text. Dear people, you are in God's house tonight. This house was opened, as I have said before, for the glory of God. We are before the one who's pavilioned in splendor, the one who's girded with praise, the potentate of time, the absolute sovereign, perfectly independent, the blessed and only potentate, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the writer here is describing the grace of God from God to a sinner. Now what he says, then he is gracious unto him. Then he is gracious unto him. It's unmerited favor of God, of the only potentate of time. He who's pavilioned in splendor, he who is adored in the heavenly world, that's who's in view here. Then he is gracious unto him. Oh yes, unsaved. I want you to realize tonight that by your sin, you've wronged the one who is God blessed over all. You've wronged him. You've wronged the only potentate of time, the sovereign God. We as a congregation are right now being addressed by him. And therefore, we sit up and we take note. God addresses us through this text. Then he is gracious unto him. What a marvelous thing is the grace of God to a sinner. We don't deserve it. Nobody does. But God gives it. the grace of God to a sinner, then he is gracious unto him. What about the people here in this text? Then he is gracious unto him and saith, deliver him. Now the setting here, you know, we've already read, is the book of Job. The setting here is Elihu is addressing Job here. He's speaking to Job of God's gracious dealings with men. That's what he's doing. In verse 14 to 18 of this chapter, Elihu shows Job how God calls men to repentance. Now look at verse number 14 with me. Verse 14, for God speaketh once, yea twice, yet man perceiveth it not. Look at verse 15, in a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men, and slumberings upon the bed, then he openeth the ears of men, and sealeth their instruction, that he may withdraw man from his purpose, and hide pride from him. Why does he do it? Why does he do this to man? Why does he speak once, yea, twice, in dreams, in a vision of the night? Remember, this is written before the canon of Scripture is complete, obviously. But why does God do this? Look at verse number 18. He keepeth back his soul from the pit. That's why he does it. God speaketh once, yea, twice. He calls man to repentance, that he might keep back their soul from the pit. He speaketh in the night season, when the conscience troubles the sinner, and the sinner can't sleep, and is troubled in their soul. Dear unsaved, I want you to see what this portion is telling you. The reason God does it, to keep you from going down to the pit. That he might keep men from going down to the pit. Yes, dear unsaved, God speaketh once, twice, to keep you from going down to the pit. Maybe more than once. Maybe as you sit in this meeting, you can cast your mind down to a time in your life when you knew you were troubled. God speaketh once, yea, twice. And verse 18 tells us why, to keep men from going down to the pit. Let's go on down the chapter. He sends affliction. Look at verse 20. So that his life abhorreth bread, and his soul dainty meat. Sickness to stop men in this mad career. Verse 21, his flesh is consumed away, that it cannot be seen, and his bones that were not seen stick out. Why these afflictions to the sinner? Look again at verse 30. Go down to verse 30. To bring back his soul from the pit. To bring back his soul from the pit. Oh dear unsaved, understand this. God speaks. He takes your sleep away. He sends afflictions, all designed to bring you to repentance. All designed to stop you from going down to the pit. It's what God puts in your way. It's these barriers. God is calling for repentance. And there needs to be repentance. Because God has been wronged. God has been sinned against. His law has been violated. His honor has been brought down. His name has been abused. His day has been desecrated. Let me tell you, God has been wronged. God has been wronged. I have wronged him. Everyone in this meeting has wronged God. We have wronged him. We have stole that which was not ours to take. We have taken his day. But God had mercy on us. He saved us. But some of you in this meeting, God is calling you for repentance. And dear sinner friend, you need to repent. It means be penitent. It means turn back. It means to have another mind in the subject. It's all here. God is calling men to repentance. And it means sorrow for sin, turning from it. Oh, dear friend, see it. Why does he call you to repentance? Is it to ruin your life? Is it to take away your happiness? Is that why he does it? You would think to hear some people at times when they're offered a gospel tract that a cardinal sin had been committed, just offering them a tract. And you're only trying to show them the way to heaven. And they erupt. And they go mad. God is showing us here in this portion. He's calling men to repentance. And the reason is this, that they might not go down to the pit. The text says, deliver him from going down to the pit. Trouble of soul, conscience pricking you. Dear unsaved, leaving a gospel meeting been unsettled. Troubled in your soul. But what you've heard is the Lord stopping you from going down to the pit. He's causing you to stop and consider your ways. Stop and consider where this is all laden. That's what the Bible says. That he might stop man. That he might bring them back. Verse 18 again. He keepeth back his soul from the pit. Verse 30. To bring back his soul from the pit. Dear unsaved, do you understand? You could not be in a better place this Sunday night than you are right now. You're in church. You're in God's house. His word has been read. You're hearing that he calls men to repentance to stop you going down to the pit. To stop you going down to the pit. We've seen the one in view, the Lord in view in the text. We've seen the people. And he is gracious unto him and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit. But thirdly, I want to show you from the text, the pit in view. The pit in view. The word pit here, it's a word that could also be translated, perish, destroyer. Deliver him from going down to the destroyer. Deliver him from going down to perish. But just read the words. Deliver him from going down. 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 Sinner, you know what that means? That just means you're not going up. The Lord just puts it so simply. That text could have been written, the Lord could just have said it like this, deliver him from going to the pit. He says, deliver him from going down. Because the Lord is showing you, dear unsaved, in this meeting, the direction in which you're heading. God says you're going down. God says you are not going up. The Bible speaks about the saints meeting God in the air. Well, dear unsaved, in this meeting, the Lord is showing you, you are not meeting God in the air. You are going down. Every step you take in your life to this moment has been a downward step. It's been a downward spiral. That's where it's going. The direction you're going right now is down. The Lord just puts it so simply, so straightforward. You're not going up. You're going down. Down. To the pit. Now, if I had made this up and only decided to say that tonight, you don't have anything to worry about. But when God tells you, when God Almighty addresses you as he is doing in this portion, the sovereign God of heaven, and he says to you at this moment in your life, you are not going. Your direction is down. It's time to leave off everything else in life. And it's time to see what God is saying to you. Because Christ has shown you, you go down, you've lost your soul. That's what he's telling you. You're heading down. You are not heading up. Up to heaven! Forget it. That's what the Lord's saying. You die out of Christ, you are not going up. Two simple English words, and from the smallest in this meeting to the oldest, we all understand them. Up, down. And the Lord's telling you in this text, you are not going up. You're heading down. Remember who's telling you that. I'm not. I'm only telling you what God's telling you. You're heading down. No ifs, no buts. It's English. God says it's down to the pit. That's the direction you're taking. In Luke chapter 16, God shows what it's like for a man to go down to the pit. God shows what it's like for a man not to go up, but to go down. Turn to Luke 16. Luke chapter 16. You know the story. Here our Lord Jesus, as I have said before in this portion, but this is what he does. He lifts the lid just enough to let us see a man that didn't go up. That's what he does. He lifts the lid into an unseen world that nobody has ever seen before, except through the eye of Scripture. Never seen it that is until they get to it. But nobody alive has seen it. But Christ lifts the lid here. In Luke chapter 16, I want you just to begin to read there in verse number 22. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abram's bosom. Now, Abram's bosom was a term. Let me just explain that. Abram's bosom was a term used among the Jews, expressing the bliss of those that die in Christ. But the rich man also died, read on, and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abram afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abram, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abram said, Son, remember. Remember. Young people, older people, it's the memory of the damned. This man, Christ shows us in hell, and he's called to remember. Son, remember. He's just called upon Abram, a man brought up in Israel. And he knew about Abram, about the God of Abram, but he didn't know Abram's Savior. And he says, Abram, but he's told in verse 25, Son, remember that in thy lifetime receivest thy good things. Son, remember. You got what you wanted. In thy lifetime, that which you called good, that which you desired, in thy lifetime, son, remember. Thou receivest thy good things. You received all you wanted. And now you're lost. But remember, you got what you wanted. That's what he's saying to him. Son, remember. He's called to remember. And you can search that. And he doesn't argue it. There's no denial. That's right. Son, remember. In thy lifetime thou gottest thy good things. All that thou counted dear, All that thou counted dear in thy heart, you got them. And he's reminded of it in the very pit of hell. Dear unsaved in this meeting, what do you count as good things? What do you count as good things? I want you to see this. Here's a man reminded in hell that he got exactly what he wanted. Son, remember. You will remember your sins in hell. You'll remember that which you run after. You'll remember that which kept you from Christ. You'll remember the preaching of your pastor, Mr. Greer. Some of you will remember if you end up there, and we pray to God none of you do. Some of you will remember the preaching of Mr. Beggs. Son, remember, thou receivest thy good things, all that you counted dear, all that your heart wanted, all that you lived for, all that you couldn't get enough of. Son, remember, you got them. What a torment. What a torment in the mind of the lost. To remember that what they wanted had cost them their soul. Son, son, remember. Young man, remember. You make your choice. And I pray to God you make the right one. But if you do not, there's coming a day when you will remember, and your own memory will be the torment of your lost eternal soul. Because here's a man in torment, and he's reminded of all that he held dear. Son, remember, thou receivest thy good things. You remember this meeting. You remember the friends or family that asked you to go to church. Son, son, remember, you did get what you wanted. Young person, maybe I speak to you and the world allures you. We all know what that's like. It allured me for years. But dear people, don't go after it. You go after that, there'll come a day when you'll remember. You received your good things. And the thought there is all that he held dear, all that he lived for, all that he wanted, all this awful remembrance. This awful remembrance. But what about the awful realization? Note, he didn't deny it. What about the awful realization? Look at verse 26. And beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from hence. What's in view there? This realization. This realization that there's no hope. You have the remembrance, and you have this realization. Look at that word fixed in verse number 26. That word fixed, it means set fast, established, steadfast, it's fixed. And what God is saying, and dear unsaved, I want you to understand what he's saying here. Be fully aware of this. This man was assured there's a gulf, there's a chasm, and for the lost in hell, there's this knowledge of utter hopelessness, that there's no way out. God says it's fixed. And this lost soul, and Christ shows us him. When And you think of what's happening here. Only Christ could preach this message. Only Christ could declare this. Because the Lord's shown us into the world of lost souls here. Son, remember the remembrance. Then this hopelessness that there's no way out. And then you see what he says in verse 28. I have five brethren, testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. But I want you to see something, dear people. It's refused. He wants to get a word back. He wants to get a word back to family. He wants to get a word back. Understand this. God said no. There are no voices from beyond the grave. None. And God tells us in this book, in verse number 29, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. This book is the only book that declares what is beyond the grave. Sorcerers are liars because God refused the information to be given. He refused it. If this man could have got a word back, he'd have got it. God said, no, they have the Bible. They have the Bible. And that's all they need, and that is all they are getting. And the only book that tells us what is beyond the grave is that book. So when you see somebody on television or an article in a paper, somebody claiming to have made contact, you go to Luke 16 and they're immediately shown to be a liar and deceived because God said no message. They have the scriptures. They have Moses and the prophets. They have all they need. God does not permit voices from beyond the grave. It's sealed, it's sorted. The pit. Dear people, don't end up there. Do not end up in that situation. There was a man standing here that day that Christ preached that message. And he ended up in the same pit. And I refer to Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot stood as Christ left at the lid. On the world of lost souls. And Judas Iscariot ended up in the same pit. Do not let that happen to you. Don't do it. The price in view. Let's go back to Job chapter 33. Then he is gracious unto him and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. The ransom speaks of the price of our redemption. It speaks of the deliverance of sinners. The word ransom is the Hebrew word kofar. Means to cover or pitch. Means atonement. Remember the ark that Noah built? That ark was covered inside and outside with pitch. It's the same word. That ark in which Noah and his wife, his three sons, their wives, they found shelter. They were safe when God sent judgment upon the earth. But here, dear sinner friend, the Lord is showing you the absolute necessity of the ransom of atonement. The absolute necessity of it, of the death of Christ, without which we all go down. The necessity of the atonement. The justice of God demands it. God won't overlook sin. As old W.P. Nicholson said, if God could have overlooked sin, he'd have done it at Calvary. God won't overlook sin. The justice of God demands atonement. The law of God demands it. It says the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And dear people, as I said last week, before the blood of Christ ever washed a sinner, it satisfied divine justice. It satisfied the Godhead, the ransom. It gives a sense of price being paid to someone to deliver someone. Dear people, understand this. This ransom was offered to God because the atonement was Godward. Christ offered himself without spot to God. To God. Christ offered it to God. He gave his life a ransom for many. He gave it to God as a ransom for many. And Paul put it like this in Hebrews, he who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God. He offered himself to God. His blood was the very price of redemption. And in light of Calvary, dear unsaved in this meeting, God says to you, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a great ransom. You know what that word found means? It can also be translated received. I have received a ransom. That's what it means. Deliver him from going down to the pit, for I have received a payment. A payment that satisfies my justice. A payment that satisfies my law. A payment that pacified my wrath. I have received a payment, and I am satisfied receiving that payment to pardon every sinner that comes. I have received a ransom. What a glorious work. Dear sinner, read it like that. I have received a ransom that you might not go down. That you might not go down. The potentate addressing us is God, the only potentate of time. The people in view, world of sinners. The pit in view, the hell of the damned. The price, the blood of Christ. Oh yes, sinner. The cross of our Lord. That finished work. That once and for all sacrifice for sin, where our sin was dealt with. It was Godward. As I have said, before God, before the blood of Christ washed a sinner, it satisfied the Godhead. It satisfied the Father. And there's the basis for this message. Young man, young woman, older man, older woman in this meeting tonight, God says to you that have wronged him, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. Finally, let me show you the promise and the peril in the text. The promise and the peril. The promise is this. Deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found, I have received a ransom. And the promise is this. If you come to Christ, repentance towards God, faith toward Jesus Christ, God will receive you. He will pardon you. He will forgive your sins. And he has said in this text, deliver him from going down. From going down to the pit. Dear unsaved, understand this. Christ can do no more. And Christ is not going to do any more because nothing more needs to be done. All you need to save you has been done. God accepts it. Now here's the point. Enough for God. Enough for you. You need to come to Christ. You have this promise that if you come, you'll be saved, you'll be washed, you'll be forgiven. Well, sinner, understand this. But the peril is this. That's the promise. The peril is this. If you don't come, God says you're not going up. God says you're going down. With your memory, you're going down to see the hopelessness of that situation that man ended in. And it's your hopelessness. And that's where you're heading. And that is also a promise. Oh dear unsaved, understand this. Where is this all heading? Where is this all heading for you? Some in this meeting are on their way to heaven. And I think we rush over those words too much. Those are marvelous words. Rebels on their way to heaven. But some of you aren't. Tell me this. What if this week it all ends for you? What if this night it ends for you? You say, preacher, you always say that. I certainly do. Because this book always teaches it. That life can end at any moment. What if this week some minister stands at your grave? Earth to earth. Dust to dust. Ashes to ashes. In the sure and certain hope of a resurrection. When that is being said, where will your soul be? Earth to earth. Dust to dust. Ashes to ashes. In the sure and certain hope of a resurrection. Where will your soul be? Because I tell you this. The resurrection will declare where your soul was. Dear unsaved in this meeting, it is time to prepare to die. And I am not being morbid. It's time to prepare to die. Because die you will. And die I will. And if you die out of Christ, God is saying to you in this text, you're not going up. You're not for heaven. But sinner, see what he says to you. Deliver him from going down to the pit. For I have received ransom. God's telling you he has received a payment for sin that has satisfied his justice. And he's well pleased having received that payment, that ransom, to pardon all who come to him. And that can only leave us with one conclusion. If you go down, it's because you didn't come. For whatever reason. But you remember that throughout the countless ages of eternity, you will remember the reason. And that reason will be the torment of your soul. Son, remember that before you died, you received your good things. All that you counted dear. Remember that a ransom was paid. God had received it. Sinner, come to Christ tonight. He'll not let you go. You come to him. He'll save you now. He'll forgive all your sins. He'll keep you. He'll hold you. The ransom guarantees that. And the pit is where you'll never be. Deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom, saith God Almighty. Now, will you come to him? Will you take God at his word? Come to Christ now. Be saved now. Repent, believe the gospel. Be received into the arms of a Saviour. He'll hold you. He'll never let you go. Come. Come now. Let us pray. And while every head is bowed and the Lord's people are praying, there are people in this meeting and you're not saved. Thank you for coming. Thank you for taking the time to come to the service. But you need to come to Christ. Come to him now. Even just where you sit, lift your heart heavenward. Ask God to save you. Ask him to forgive your sins. You have his promise. As a foundation was laid at Calvary, he'll forgive you. He'll pardon you. Come to him now. May God give you grace to come. Father in heaven, take thy word. Bless it to every heart. God, here we stand tonight in a gospel meeting. Dealt with matters of eternity. People going to heaven, people going to hell. Solemn, serious affairs. God, save the lost. Bring them into that everlasting union with Jesus Christ. Into that love that will never let them go. Answer prayer tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.